We are joined in the studio by Anna Richards of the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP for this week's conversation. Anna, how are you?
Doing pretty good.
So,
how are you?
Doing good. So what's going on? You've come in with like a huge stack of stuff, but I think it's mostly errands, right? Yeah.
Good to be
here. It's tax day,
so everyone's
running around at the last minute.
It's tax day, and we still have those. Everybody's tax return. That's kind of an interesting.
I dropped I sent in my taxes a couple of days ago, but I had a DVD from Netflix that I went to stick in the mail today, and I'm like cramming it into the mailbox because it's all full of stuff.
Yeah. Well, all right. Glad to be here. We're, of course, I do want to mention again, I talked last week about the session on the 26th at the library, Julius Chambers, A Life in the Struggle for Civil Rights. And I just want to reiterate what an important figure Julius Chambers was in terms of civil rights and really on the national scene. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of ironic at this time that the Center for Civil Rights at the university is fighting for its ability to continue in that work. So I think folks who aren't familiar with Julius Chambers could learn a lot. This co-author, Rich Rosen, is going to lead the discussion. And it's a biography of one of the nation's greatest legal scholars and civil rights giants. So it's a great opportunity. Ted Shaw, who currently leads the center at UNC, will be one of the panelists. So really want to encourage everyone to come out and join in that conversation. I think it's an enlightening opportunity.
And that's next week, Wednesday, at the Chapel Hill Public Library. What time?
It begins at 6:30 p.m. at the Chapel Hill Public Library.
All right. So we were talking about this kind of last week, but Julius Chambers, among many other things, started the UNC Center for Civil Rights, and that's been in the news recently because the Board of Governors is trying to shut down its litigation arm, at least.
Right.
And we've talked with Mark Dorison about that and some other people. But what is the importance of the UNC Center for Civil Rights for the protection and promotion of civil rights in the state of North Carolina and beyond? How big of a role has it played?
It has played a very significant role over the years, and it's been a leading proponent of civil rights, not only here in North Carolina, but I think at a time such as this when across the state, if you look at some of the bills that are coming forward, I think there's an assault on civil rights in many areas in our state. So now of all times, I think we need the leadership of the Center for Civil Rights.
How important is it that it be connected to the university? I mean, even if you say the Board of Governors proposal is wrong, mean-spirited, and come up with all kinds of adjectives for it, if it should come to pass, the fight for civil rights isn't going to end right there. So what's the importance of the connection to the university?
It is not going to end right there, but UNC Law School and the reputation and the scholarly approach and the study that goes on in an academic setting, I think, in terms of training the future civil rights giants, it is important that it is part of the university. And so in that academic environment, I think it makes it even stronger.
Speaking with Anna Richards again, Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP, Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP.wordpress.com. If you want their website, a lot of information there. What else is going on?
Well, tonight at the library, starting at 6:30, we have we are a co-sponsor, along with the Campaign for Racial Equity, of a conversations on equity. Every third Tuesday of the month, we have been hosting this speaker series. It's co-sponsored by the Chapel Hill Carborough NAACP, the Campaign for Racial Equity in Our Schools, and Chapel Hill Town's Justice in Action Committee. Tonight, the topic is Black Genius Profiles, Creating Culturally Responsive Classrooms. William P. Jackson, founder and executive director of Village of Wisdom in Durham, is the speaker. And what he does is he uses Black genius profiles to create learning assessments for children. So that this session is tonight is going to be on the use of these profiles to create more culturally relevant classroom instruction and practices. And really the idea that he purports is that there is genius, and it's the education system to find out how to help children develop that genius and really capitalize on it. So there's a different topic each month, and so it's free, open to the public, starts at 6:30, and is from 6:30 to 8 tonight at the library. So great opportunity, again, to think about some topics that maybe aren't at top of mind.
Absolutely. Again, Anna Richards of the Chapel Hill Carpenter NAACP. You can get that event and much, much more on their website, which is chapelhillcarpenternaacp.wordpress.com. Full events calendar there for that event tonight at 6:30 at the library, and then next Wednesday's event on Julius Chambers, also 6:30 at the library. All right. Anything else that people need to know?
Well, there's the big hearing tonight on transit.
Yes. Yeah. And does the NAACP have a stance on that?
The Chapel Hill Carpenter NAACP has not taken a formal position.
How important is Orange-Durham Light Rail just for the future of the community?
I think it depends on what community you're talking about. So, you know, I think one of the key things for me, and I just speak from now from reading and looking at some of these issues, they had a consultant come in and do an evaluation of it, and it doesn't hold together financially. So mm-hmm. for our communities, I think that's one of the biggest risks, in that if the financial model doesn't hold together with the current funding, then they're going to have to get the funding from somewhere. And does that come from affordable housing? Does it come from education? Does it come from raising taxes? And so I think on the economic model alone, I think there's a lot of risk. And so I think that's the concern that might spill over into other segments of the community, whether you're, you know, theoretically for or against light rail, it needs to hold together financially.
It's a tough issue because you've got, I mean, it's the Orange-Durham Light Rail plan, but there's Orange and there's Durham and there's Northern Orange and Southern Orange and Northern Durham and Southern Durham, and you can break up the community as much as you want, and every single piece has a different stake or a lack thereof in it, so it's a tough issue. Is there, and I don't know how much you've thought about this issue, and I haven't done as much thinking about it as I would like, but part of the point of light rail is to do something to address, you know, congestion on 15501, which is only going to get worse as the population grows. Is there an idea that you have to, in the absence of light rail, address that problem, which isn't going to go away?
No.
That becomes the next question,
answer,
right?
And then you really have to look at what communities are served, and mm-hmm. does it serve where the people live, and do people, is it point to point? Is it, you know, there are those who look at maybe the two major institutions that it serves, but along that way have who owns the land, and, you know, there's a lot of issues there. And
yeah.
As I say, the NAACP Chapel Hill Carpenter branch does not have a position on that, but I think looking at some of the facts and looking at the numbers is what we all need to do. Be concerned about how the model's going to hold together financially in the future.
All right, well, Chapel Hill Carpenter, NAACP.wordpress.com to get more info. Anna Richards, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.